Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Are you tired of having to spend your time finding and deciphering instructions on how to keep what you share online with your family safe from prying eyes of strangers? Then hope that the settings stay as you intended. Today you will hear from David Jose, founder of eFamily, a social network designed for you and your family specifically. Welcome to the Social Network Show, everyone. This is your host, Jane Karwoski, along with Jim Nico, founder and CEO of our parent company, Social Network Intermedia. I am Dr. J, an experimental psychologist who likes to think about how all this electronic networking and connectedness might be affecting all of us as human beings, rather than add to the glut of research findings forgotten in the archives. I prefer to consider with you how what we already know can be applied in our lives and actions, whether you are a parent, educator, business owner, student, or even a researcher. Mr. Jose, thank you, and welcome to the Social Network Show.
Thank you for having us. I'm pretty excited to talk with you guys and share our story. Great to be on the show.
Well, I'm wondering, first of all, what prompted you to create eFamily.com?
So the story started when me and my wife were on our honeymoon. At the time, this was back in 2005, the site that everyone was using to share was MySpace.com.
Uh-huh.
And we knew that we definitely didn't want to share our experience that we basically drove up the west coast of the United States, and we wanted to share that experience. We didn't want to do it on MySpace. We wanted it to be more private, just with our family, and there really wasn't a solution for that. And I was coming off of a startup that was pretty popular. We sold ringtones, screensavers, and games to cell phone users in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
We had sold that company, and we knew we wanted to start something else. We wanted to do something a little more meaningful, something that could make a positive impact in the world. And when we kind of had that epiphany moment when we were on our trip and said, you know what, I think that could be the next business that we start. So that's kind of where the idea was born for eFamily, and that's when we started working towards it.
Getting off to a great start. I'm glad that you were thinking about not only your family, but a lot of other families too. But so tell us how it works. How does a person go about getting on eFamily, and just tell us all about that.
Yeah, so the process starts when an account creator comes to the website. They can create the website on a computer at eFamily.com. They create the title of the website. So when I started mine, I called it JoseFamily.eFamily.com. And you could call it whatever subdomain you'd like. And then you start either inviting family members to the site, or you can upload a story telling them what you're planning to do on the site. You can also upload videos, set your reminders so they can either come daily or weekly to your inbox.
So are you saying that you are basically having everyone create their own family website?
Yes. So,
okay.
So the account creator creates the main website, and then everybody else will create their own profile within that family website, and
uh-huh.
that will let them control their permissions and different things like that.
Even within the family, each individual can control that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, each individual gets their own password, so you're not sharing a single password where everybody could pass that around or things mm-hmm. like that. So once you do that, then you can download our apps, and that's really the fun part of the eFamily. The differentiator in the marketplace for us is we have apps for both Android and iPhone, and the usage. So I've been, you know, going after this for several years. So from 2007, we kind of launched to the public, and we had a real beta version. And then 2010, we had another version, which was just web-based. And then in 2013, we launched with the mobile apps. And the usage from the mobile apps have just totally skyrocketed in terms of postings and interactions with the website and things like that.
So people tend to use it a lot more when it's mobile-friendly, like
exactly.
Apparently everything is going. Most people are accessing the web through their phone these days. So the design of the apps, tell us what you can do with those various apps.
Yeah, so you can take a picture on your mobile and immediately get that posted to your eFamily site if you want to upload that picture, if you capture a special memory or experience that you want to share with your family.
Mm-hmm.
You can also upload videos. There's a 500 megabyte limit on how much you can upload, but that's basically, I uploaded a 5-minute high definition video, and it works just fine. So you can capture, you know, the first bike ride or the first baby steps or, mm-hmm. you know, things that you want to share with video, you can do that with our apps. And then you can comment or you can love. So a little different take than Facebook. Instead of the like feature, we did the love feature. So you can love content or comment on content and things like that.
So for our listeners, what website address do you want them to go to learn about you? And you can also give Twitter, LinkedIn, anything you want. Where should they go?
Yeah, sure. So it's really simple. It's efamily.com. And if you want to go to Twitter, you can go to twitter.com/efamily or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/efamily. So, you know, we trademarked that name and spent a little bit of money to get that domain to make it easy for families, you know, remember us and find us and things like that. Also, what's interesting is, say somebody doesn't like efamily.com as a name or they don't like the subdomain, jose.efamily, for example, in my case, you can actually create your own domain name through our service. So, for example, people could go to josefamily.com and see that that's another site that we power for efamily. So we can actually power custom domain names, which is a really interesting position in the marketplace as well.
Does that mean that you are, in essence, hosting those websites for people?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly, yeah.
The stories that you have gathered, I'm sure people get back to you and let you know what it has meant to them and to their families. Do you have any favorite stories to share with us?
Yeah, I'll answer that at like a high level. You know, I've had people say to me things like, I'm connecting with my family who live all over the world or all over the country, and it's just a great place to connect with family members without worrying about everything else that, you know, a Facebook experience may have.
Mm-hmm. Keeping track of the privacy.
You know, those stories keep me motivated. They keep me driving towards our mission of connecting families no matter the distance. You know, I've got family in Seattle, and my mom just moved to San Diego, and my father-in-law's in Miami, and my brother's in Guam, and, you know, we're still able to live our lives together, even though we're very far apart. That's pretty special to me.
Mm-hmm.
Enabling people to do that in their own lives is awesome. It's a great feeling.
How do you protect the privacy and the security of the website?
Yeah, so the members have the option. It's by default private.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to publish things publicly to the web, it's a very clear button that says www, And if you click it, it'll tell you, you know, this will be public. It's very much in the hands of the user in terms of what they want to display. Again, by default, it's private. The partners we work with are Fortune 500 companies, Amazon, Rackspace. I mean, these are very secure colo facilities. We use HTTPS secure protocols to protect passwords. You know, we care about privacy and security, and we realize that that's a reason that people are joining our service.
So when someone would make it public, that means that if it would show up on a search, it would show up off if a person goes to efamily.com. We'll get into that. I just want to know the difference between how something is private and what happens when you make it public. So we'll go into that next.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Kelly Keller, an intellectual property attorney specializing in internet law and social media issues. Join me on The Kelly Keller Show right here on the Social Network Station. Together with my guests, we will tackle tough legal problems presented by the ever-increasing use of social media in everyday business. Through dynamic conversations, we will discuss your rights and responsibilities in the new media world, so the hard work you have put into developing your brand, business, and products does not go to waste. How does the law's response to the social media explosion affect you? Join me on The Kelly Keller Show to learn more.
Now, back to The Social Network Show.
We're speaking with David Jose at efamily.com. Question here is, besides privacy, if you could embellish a little bit on why someone would want to join efamily.com as a social network instead of, say, for example, Facebook.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, we've touched on the privacy points. You know, I don't want to share all of my family, kids' photos with, you know, the 800 people that I may have met in my lifetime and that what connected with me on Facebook. That's an obvious one. But the simplicity of the service, right? When you upload to eFamily, you know that your photo and video is going into the feed. It's not being manipulated based on some algorithm that they think is what you want to see, but it's all based on time. So as people post, the posts show up in the feed. It's just simple, right? And there's not any ads. There's not any
social.
It's just simple.
No social experiments being run on us.
Exactly.
Well, what
That's
about?
Exactly right.
Now you just glanced right over that. No ads. Is that there? You don't have advertising on the site.
That's right. Yeah, we are a premium subscription service, so It's $5 a month or $50 a year, and it's working, right? So people are subscribing to the service because they see the value in what we're offering. The image, with that subscription, you get a custom domain name. You get, you know, as many members that you want to invite to the service, although it's inherently a small number, right? That's what makes our service work. You don't want to invite 800 people, or you would just do that on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a really close-knit group of people that you want to share memories with and stories with and you know, share your life with, and that's what we're doing there. So
how does it work if someone, one member of the family, you know, feels close to other people that the rest of the family don't know?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. Family, it gets a little, you know, unique in that regard, right? So some families want to only invite people. So I get this question a lot, you know, how do I remove a member, right? So people that don't want to be a part of the network, you're able to, once you add a member, you can actually remove a member too. So it's up to each individual family how they deal with that. This is very anecdotal, but in my own family website, we haven't had the problem of, you know, my father-in-law being part of the network, or my aunt, mm-hmm, on my mom's side being part of the network. It's just, I mean, the beautiful thing about it is it's an internet website for families, and, you know,
everybody pretty much has an idea of,
yeah,
who is in the family. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and that they can, if anyone objected to a shirt tail cousin or whatever, I suppose they could discuss that.
Yeah. Yeah. And what some families are doing is they're creating two sites, right? One for yours. So me and my wife, we don't do this, but in an example, a husband and wife, the husband or wife will create one for their side of the family, you know, their mm-hmm, their side of the family, and then the wife's side of the family. And some people have tried to do three sites, just depending on their family dynamic. You're able to do multiple sites if you want to go that route.
Now, is the cost of $5 a month is you know, obviously very reasonable? Is that for,
yep,
the site or per member? Does each
it's
person
for the family site?
No, okay.
No, just for the site. So, once one member pays, all the family members can access it. And it's a very reasonable, fair price.
Absolutely.
And it's a good value. It's a good value.
Well, one of the things that I'm really impressed with is you said right away it's a premium site. And so in the world of social networks, where a social network, let's say, is doing things that we may not like, we learned from one of our former guests, or one of our regular guests, excuse me, Sandy Garasino. She said on one of our shows, she said, you know, if it's free, you are the product. You're not the client. And what I really love about what you're doing is you're really catering to the client. I mean, they pay a fee. You help them, you support them, and you provide this service. And then you're not really having to serve two masters in a sense of like advertising and the client. So I really admire what you're doing, and I thank you for that.
Is the data gathered by anyone?
No. Yeah, this is we're not data mining. Your data is completely private. There's nobody that we're selling this data to. I mean, we have analytical data on what's happening, just so that we can monitor you know, the health of the network, right? So if nobody's posting, then we know something's either broken or, you know, there's a problem with the service, right? So we use our analytics to help serve the client, as Jim was suggesting, rather than to make money off of the. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jim, on that point, that if you're not paying for a service, you are the product, and somebody is making money off of you.
So you really do end up paying for it, just in other ways.
Yeah.
You mentioned monitoring. So does each family, whoever probably set up the site, is considered the administrator of it?
That's correct.
Are they able to monitor if they discover they have a troll in the family?
I mean, if someone joins a family, like, you can invite somebody, but once they join, then you get a story will get posted in the feed that this person joined the family. There's no like view count or anything like that that they have access to.
Since you said you can unjoin or delete a member if they misbehave, I guess that would take care of it.
Sure, yeah. Like I've got a pretty large family too. I come from a family of I have seven brothers and sisters, and I've got a younger brother that he'll post some things on Facebook, and I'm like, buddy, you can't post that stuff on eFamily. My family, you know, my kids are, you know, and so he's been very, and that's the other beautiful thing, you know, we back to that answer of what's the difference between Facebook and eFamily is the content, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is family content, and you can't promise that on Facebook. That's another thing that is a really big selling point. I mean, my kids, so you got to be 13 or over to use eFamily.
Oh.
When my kids get to that point, and we could become COPPA compliant. That's one of the possible directions we take. It's not COPPA compliant yet, so you have to be 13 or over to join eFamily. But
what does that mean?
Yeah, when they get to that point, so COPPA compliance is the Children's Protection, Children's Online Protection Privacy Act,
uh-huh.
And there's just a requirement that the government has put in place. That's why you see under 13 kids can't join Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or anything because they're not COPPA compliant websites.
Well, it sounds like you're not very far off from being COPPA compliant.
Yeah, we're not at all. It's just a matter of priority and implementation.
Time,
so.
And I assume there's probably some money involved too. Well, that
exactly.
I'm really glad to get an update on how it's going with eFamily.com, and it sounds very exciting to just simply create your own family website and have it under the umbrella of eFamily.com. And we've been talking with David Jose about, and that is Hosei, for anyone who's wondering why are we having a hard time with that name, especially being in the Southwest as we are. So thank you so much, and thank you to for joining us.
No, I'm happy to join you, and appreciate the opportunity to share this story and share our business and get the word out about the service. Appreciate what you guys are doing for the community and the hard work you've put in the last 2 years, just sharing your knowledge and experience with the world. So I think that's awesome.
Well, I hope you'll let the eFamily family know about us.
It's a special time when the Social Network Show gets to feature and promote a cutting-edge social network. eFamily's one of those. Thanks, man, and we hope you come back.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, Jane.
Uh-huh. And thank you, our listeners. Please mention to your social networks, online and off, that you enjoy the Social Network Show. If you're listening via iTunes or Stitcher.com, please check out our webpage, thesocialnetworkshow.com, and mention it to us as well by subscribing to email updates from the blog page. So until we welcome you here again, please have fun and be safe online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests, and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.